This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations. For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/Amex Business.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Even if you're thinking he was sliding late.
Oh, my. That'll be Al Shire, who's flagged for the big hit.
Al Shire gave him the business.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Him not patrolling the middle of the field against Tua, Mahomes, Lamar will leave a mark. I'm sure Jaguars fans are like, well, you know what left a mark?
Today's guests, actor Ken Jeong, Fox Sports college football insider Bruce Feldman, host of Max's Second Chance Stage, Emmanuel Acho. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show live on the Roku Sports Channel. And Ken Jeong's about to walk into our green room and step out to our studio.
Nice.
And explore the studio space, hang out with us. That'll be a lot of fun. Bruce Feldman will join us in the middle of this program, talking about so much in the college football world. Emmanuel Acho will turn this into his own facility later on in hour number three here on the Rich Eisen Show. You should join us at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. I've got power rankings. That's coming up later on. Daniel Jeremiah said quite a few things on What the Football, which was recorded by Susie and Amy once we were done yesterday. Certainly about what the Chicago Bears did to Caleb Williams. They used the word paralyzed in reference to what the Bears' previous administration now did to and for or with Caleb Williams. That will lead us to an interesting segment on this program where we're gonna redraft the top 10 of the National Football League draft now that we're 13 weeks into the NFL 2024 season.
Like that.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial. There's lots to have opinions on, certainly with the college football playoff rankings we'll get to in a second. But first, hello, Chris Brockman. Good to see
hello,
you.
Hello, Rich Eisen.
Boy, did you mess up the Miami season. Good to see you over there. Good to see you over there, Jason Feller. How are you, Jay Felly?
I'm great, Rich.
Good to see you, TJ Jefferson. Good to see you,
it's
sir.
It's great to be seen.
All right. Let's get into it. The college football playoff committee has spoken. There are conference championship games remaining. And 12 teams, according to the College Football Playoff Committee, are worthy of playing on for the right to lift the national championship trophy. And no surprise that Oregon is the one seed and Penn State is the top non-bye week seed at 5. And they're playing each other in the Big Ten championship game for the right to be, I imagine, the one seed. And Oregon potentially swapping spots with Penn State. The 2 seed is Texas, which earned this right after beating Texas A&M. They'll be taking on number 7, Georgia. SMU, which is playing for the right to win the ACC, is the 3 spot. And Boise State, which plays UNLV for the Mountain West Championship on Friday night, is in the 4th spot. As for the rest of the teams, Penn State, as I mentioned, is 5. Notre Dame is 6. Georgia is 7. And The Ohio State University, despite the embarrassing and gutting an absolutely delusion-causing loss for the Buckeye faithful to Michigan at home, according to the College Football Playoff Committee, worthy of a home game in the first round of the playoffs, taking on ninth-ranked Tennessee. Indiana is 10th-ranked, going to Georgia. Alabama is in as the 11th seed with three losses.
Ooh.
And it is currently slated to go visit Notre Dame in the first round. And Arizona State, which plays for the Big 12 championship against Iowa State, is in at 12, meaning Miami is currently on the outside looking in. Yep. So is Iowa State, which is playing Arizona State in the Big 12 championship. They are on the outside looking in. Two SEC teams, Ole Miss and South Carolina, 13 and 14. And there's Clemson all the way down at 17, but if they beat SMU in the ACC championship game, Clemson is in. The question is, any chance for Miami, which started 9-0, lost two of its last three in conference, including that one in Syracuse on Saturday. How can that Alabama team that's at 9-0 and has a Heisman Trophy worthy quarterback in Cam Ward, how are they out in Alabama with one more loss in? And the question is, what can happen with these weekend results to get Miami in? And Ward Manuel, the Michigan athletic director, who is running the sitting atop the College Football Playoff Committee and is the spokesperson for it, spoke with Reese Davis last night. And what he said basically is, for any teams that aren't playing this weekend, there's really not much else you can do other than just sit and watch and know that you're already in or out. There's no way to improve or lose your current standing.
Any team that is not playing right now, we don't have a data point to rearrange where we have those teams ranked. And so that is set in terms of how we see them going into the final week of championship week. There's nothing that's going to change, Reese, for us to evaluate them any differently than we have now. Those teams who are not playing cannot be adjusted in terms of where they are compared to other teams that are not playing. But the championship teams, we will evaluate that data point to determine if there needs to be any movement based on how the performance of the game goes.
So, for instance, if Texas beats Georgia, then Alabama's win over Georgia won't become less impressive to the point where Miami could leapfrog Alabama just by sitting at home, and Alabama sitting at home is basically what I just heard. And no teams sitting at home like Indiana or the Ohio State or Tennessee or Notre Dame or Alabama, name them, that their standings can be harmed to the point where they're out. So they're in. Basically, from what I just heard from Ward Manuel, the field is set with the exception of three conference championship games that decide who's going in and who's not. SMU loses to Clemson. Is there a second spot for an ACC team?
Seems unlikely.
If would the loser of Arizona State, Iowa State, get in? No.
No.
Right? Boise State, UNLV, that's winner goes in, loser goes home, right?
Yep.
Because it would just mean maybe you elevate somebody that's currently in the first round of the playoffs into a bye week spot? Because are you going to put UNLV, one of the top four teams, to sit at home? Is that what you're going to do? Are you going to do that with Clemson? You're going to give Clemson a week off to go from what, 17th overall? You get a week off now because you beat SMU? I don't think so. I think the only thing that can change is somebody can get elevated from first round hosts to bye week, and someone can get knocked out from you're already out, you're still out, or somebody in a bye week spot gets knocked out. Does Georgia get knocked out if they lose to Texas?
If they get blown out, maybe.
So then maybe that's how Miami gets in?
Yeah. That seems maybe.
I'm trying to come up with paths to the basket here for those who are out based on hearing what I just heard.
Yeah, maybe Georgia loses by 3 touchdowns or something. Yeah, they have 3 losses, obviously, and that might put them out.
But that's not enough for them. So Alabama stays, Georgia goes, or Georgia stays, Alabama gets knocked out.
Man, even though,
Alabama beat Georgia.
Right.
So this, I'm trying to see what is there for anybody who's looking for a there.
I thought expanding this was going to make it easier. That was always the thought, right?
Bingo.
And now I'm so confused right now.
These are the things that also kind of impress upon me. You just hit right on the head, TJ.
Yeah, because I'm not going to lie. I'm sitting here like,
No, because everyone was like, well, you're going to lose the controversy if you make it a 12-team field. Just keep it at 4. If you remember last year, the lawsuits that came out of Florida State being left out, the hard feelings, the recriminations, the arguments. Yeah. Wow, you're going to lose all that when you have 12 teams. Oh, really? And especially on that, did you see the Twitter food fight between 2 athletic directors?
Oh, no.
Well, listen, Iowa State's athletic director, Jamie Pollard, he's pounding the table to say, you know, so we are going to, if we lose the bowl game, essentially is what I'm assuming here, that Iowa State deserves to have a seat at the table here, even if they lose to Arizona State. Because he's saying he's disappointed that strength of schedule clearly does not matter for SMU, Indiana, and Boise State, 3 teams that are in position right now.
He's got a point.
Saying that message is clear, win as many games as possible regardless of who you play. Time to rethink non-conference scheduling, very different standards than the basketball committee. And I guess either the Indiana or Boise State athletic directors either don't have social media or didn't care to respond. SMU's clapped back. Rick Hart talked about respect you, but bad take, and then put a whole bunch of stats up there to back up SMU's case. He said, I could go on. Stay off my lawn.
Oh, he added a zinger at the end.
Yeah, with a crying laughing emoji.
Oh, nice.
Well, Jamie Pollard wasn't laughing. He's like, you know, Rick, beat Clemson Saturday. I'll respect your thinking. Until then, you didn't play Clemson, Miami, Georgia Tech, Syracuse, and lost to BYU at home. Looks like your lawn may be artificial.
Oh, wow. Don't break up the fight.
Wait, hold on a minute.
Amazing. Oh, there's more?
That's a silly face emoji. And Rick Hart, I guess this Hart went top rope, right? We will continue to control what we control. Pony up.
Pony up.
So this is happening.
I love it.
I like it.
Twitter's back.
So maybe, listen, maybe the seedings can change, the matchups can change. Personally, I'd love to see Indiana at Notre Dame. That would be insane to see the Hoosiers in the home of the Fighting Irish for an Indiana battle, right? Could you imagine Indiana makes the first 12-team playoff field and they have to play their first game in Notre Dame? I'm sure Notre Dame would be like, keep the Hoosiers out. They'd rather have maybe Alabama fans trying to hop a flight as opposed to just drive to South Bend. I understand that. Ohio State gets a home game. Okay. Hey, listen, they had a close loss to Oregon, and then easily the most embarrassing loss Ohio State has suffered to Michigan in quite some time. The recriminations are still all over the place for Ohio State fans right now towards their coach. I mean, there's like 10 steps of grief, but half the steps are anger and the other half are delusion right now for Ohio State fans. And it's so great. Really, those tears just fill up my cup. So to Tennessee, my message to you, if you are so chosen to be the road team in Ohio State, just pack your cold weather gear and your gas masks in case you win. And in case Ohio State fans think that I'm not being respectful, I'll just say this to you. My scouting report to you is Tennessee has a quarterback on scholarship and a passing game, you might want to, you know, understand that, what's the word for it? They have it. Because the last team you had in there didn't have either. Still won. And you're welcome, TJ. Penn State is in the position. Could wind up the one seed.
How about that?
Right? If they beat Oregon.
If we beat Oregon.
And Georgia beats Texas. Who's the one seed?
Okay. That's a conversation.
Either way, I win. Really? You said Texas, right? So they could be number one?
Texas could be number one, man.
If Penn State beats Oregon, Texas will be number one if they beat Georgia.
They deserve it. Yeah. They deserve it, man.
Arch. Arch. Look. What I know they say money can't buy happiness, but this Arch card could buy me a boat.
This guy,
you know what
thinking,
I'm saying?
When you lose, I win.
Come on.
I think if you want a boat ride, you'll get one much sooner by just asking Del Tufo for one.
Not that easy.
Is that right?
No, he's never invited us.
He's never invited us.
I've been a few times, but
Brockman, but this right here, you're welcome to come on the USS Arch when it happens, okay?
The question about would there be less controversy, less conversation, I mean, Miami right now is pissed. Pissed off right now.
Well,
they started 9-0. They lost two games.
And a lot of those games they had some come-from-behind wins. They should have got a few times.
They started 9-0. They lost two of their last three, and an Alabama team that's lost more than them is being told you're in.
Well, as Ward Manuel pointed out, their record against the top 25 is much better than Miami's.
And Clemson could get in after all. Clemson wins the ACC championship game. Clemson is in. But you can't give a team that's currently as far down as anybody outside of UNLV to be playing in these conference championship games a bye week. You can't do that, right? You can't.
No, I don't like that.
You have to, don't you? Don't you have to? That's why Notre Dame doesn't get a bye because they're not affiliated with any conference.
Right.
So the highest Notre Dame can ever be in this scenario is a 5 seed. They'll never have a week off. It's their way of saying, pick a side, Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Pick a side. And they're on the side of, we're Notre Dame. To heck with you. I didn't go the other way. Because they wouldn't use that other word.
Oh, come on. Oh, definitely not. In public.
Man, imagine if Notre Dame didn't lose to Northern Illinois. They'd be undefeated and the 5 seed?
I was literally just thinking
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Ken Jong's going to come out shortly. Just a couple of minutes on this subject matter. I saw this. Just to follow up on what we discussed yesterday. As you know, we want to have another segment of And Another Thing where we bring up
and
something.
Another thing.
Okay. ESPN and the news stack underneath all these college football stories says that their sources tell it, and apparently Jeff Passan maybe, that Juan Soto is making his decision in the next 24 to 48.
Nearing is the word they're
that
using.
The annual meetings, the winter meetings begin Sunday. People start packing up, I guess, to get there on Friday or Saturday, getting there early, and he wants to beat everyone to the punch.
Yeah, Alden Gonzalez had the story. Soto widely expected to sign before teams depart Thursday.
Juan, all I say are two things. One, this is for us because I'm a team guy. Please between 12 and 3 Eastern time.
12 and 3 and one of our teams. And,
well,
not the Blue Jays.
No. If it's not one of our teams, then it's still great no matter what it is because all four of us sitting here right now, Yankees, Mets, and Red Sox, and Dodgers, although I don't want to hear from you, Jay. Because I don't want to hear from you. Because you know what Cooper said to me last night? Again, this is my 13-year-old who's constantly refreshing to see if there's news. He said if the Dodgers get Soto, Major League Baseball should give up. A 13-year-old said that. Give up is what he said.
Here it comes.
And I said, why? Why, Coop?
And he goes, because it would just be not fair, the best team in baseball, by far.
Best team doesn't always win, though.
Okay. So there's that. And then Juan, now screw everyone else in this room. Choose the Yankees. Just choose the Yankees. Choose the Yankees.
No.
Gotta have you. Gotta have it.
You see what the future is, Juan.
You see, keep the future. Oh, yeah, all these Paw Sox. Come and play with these Paw Sox.
Three of the top 10 prospects.
That are going to become Red Sox.
Three of the top 10 prospects. You see how we treat Dominican players. Manny, Poppy, oh, the legacy you could create.
And then, you know.
Winning his franchise in the 2000s.
We also know how to treat people who bat in front of the reigning most valuable player who you know is going to be, how good he's going to be.
Well, he saw how that went in the postseason.
Okay, this guy. And then everyone thinks, according to this story, though, Ken Rosenthal says that
it's one of you guys.
Uncle Stevie Cohen's just going to come in and do the he's just going to do the Price is Right thing, go $1 more.
Right. With a pen.
There's
like
all
this.
Of that. All right.
Get out of here.
So.
Come on. It's happening.
While we wait for Juan Soto, though, the delightful one and only Ken Jeong is here on the Rich Eisen Show. When we come back. We try and fill in all the things that he's here to talk about on Fox. It's Ken's Day, don't you know? Right here on the Rich Eisen Show as well. There he is.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations. For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/Amex Business. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle. You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on the Roku portal and the Roku platform and Roku channel. And you can see this man on everything on Fox. Good to see Ken Jeong back here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Good to see you, Rich. Woo. Good to see you guys.
What a delight to see you here. Sounds like Eugene's quite the story.
Yeah.
Ken.
Eugene's story on Accused last night. Shout out to Jamie Chung, my dear friend who played my character's wife, Grace. And shout out to Michael Chiklis of The Shield, who directed this episode. He literally texted me while I was driving up here, and it's one of my favorite things I've ever done, precisely because of Jamie and Michael. It's like in sports analogies, when you have a Popovich or a Phil Jackson, sure, that just elevates your performance even 5 to 10%, but systemically across the board with all the talent, it just makes a huge difference. And it's my first dramatic lead. I'm always the guy off the bench.
Yeah.
You know, that comes in, and I'm like the grateful and the proud bench player that just comes in and microwaves it, you know. But this one, I had to carry it on my back. I was in every scene, and Michael just kind of, I mean, I literally called him coach on set.
You said what you did?
Yeah, it was like I was dunking you with Popovich, and we were just like, just tell me anything, coach, and I'll just run through a wall for you.
Did that cause him to say, you know, I was Red Auerbach in Winning Time, and the Celtics keep winning, and they're the champion?
Did
he start talking about the Red Sox and
he
what the Tom Brady used
demo
to do?
Reel of Red
and all of that.
Talking to John C. Reilly.
He has done everything.
He has done everything. Mm-hmm. I don't mean to trigger you. I'm just, this is all positive energy, Ari. You know, I get it.
So cool about
Can we
this
go
show?
Past the tribalism and just talk about me on Kenzie? Okay.
Well, the new thing about Accused, which you can see right here on Roku, thanks to Hulu as well.
Yes.
Is it's kind of old school. Like, it's an anthology series.
Yeah, man.
Like, you know, I know it's a legal anthology series, yeah. But I mean, you don't see it. It's like Twilight Zone, like, yeah. You know, like hour long standalone
there
stories
you
that you suck you in and make you think, you know?
Yeah, it's developed by Howard Gordon, nice. Who created Homeland 24. He like adapted this from a British series for American television.
Yeah.
And it really is, in his words, it's a morality tale, because every episode starts with one person being accused of a crime. You don't know exactly what, you don't know exactly who, and then you have flashbacks that are interwoven at the same time. It's kind of like Godfather 2, where it's present day and then in the past, and everything dovetails to the verdict. It's an incredible, very addicting anthology series, not just because I was in it, but I like Michael Chiklis's episode of the series premiere. I think it's maybe the best of the series. It's just outstanding, and it's great as an actor. We just get to play. We get to tell a story, and it's dark, and it can be at times tragic, but I get to do stuff that I've never gotten to do, is like be a dramatic lead, just go deep. We were in Toronto for a month. I shot in September, and it was almost like analogous to like doing a play. You know what I mean? It's just like it was just one thing. You just do it for the love of the game kind of thing.
Right, and it's awesome. I'm so happy for you that you get to stretch your legs in the manner in which you'd like to do. It's awesome, which is really strange why the end of the show, you know, you took off, you know, your mask and out
Tommy Chong. Yeah, exactly. And then I sang Summer Lovin' at the end. It's just, it's the way it is. Nick Cannon shows up unexpectedly, Robin Thicke in a getaway car. It's a little confusing, kind of doesn't make sense, and it just ends with Robin Thicke and Hairspray.
That's
sorry, I spoiled the ending.
Quite the plot twist.
Dang. Plot twist that nobody wanted.
But it's really great. You're like you turn on Fox, you know, and I see you. You know, it's you and doing many different things. Obviously,
yes,
Ken's
and,
on
and
Fox.
Joel McHale. Please don't mention him though. Although I just did. Let's not talk about Joel McHale. This is about me, and we got to talk about Joel McHale.
I love it.
Did I just gaslight myself?
I love it. No, it's wonderful. Ken Jeong is here, Accused, available now on Hulu through the Roku portal. Ken's Days on Fox, Masked Singer, and I can see your voice. Ken, also the leader of the Los Angeles chapter of the Cooper Flag Fan Club.
Yes,
right
Cooper.
Here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Shire, Kay, what's up? What's up?
So we're back now, huh? The Duke program. You got one of the best players in the country, if not the best, right?
And I mean, not only him, but just watching them up close and live. You got Khan. You got Mal. You got dude. It is watching them. They're the most resilient team I've seen in the last decade. Just seeing them
already,
up close.
Huh?
Yeah, I mean, just the way they come. There's just no quit. I mean, honestly, to me, that's the beauty of college basketball. Is just, you want to see the teams that have character, that have no quit in them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that at the end of the day, that's as I'm getting older too, and a father of two daughters, you know, and they're in the cross, they do cross country and track.
Yeah,
it's not just about the result. More importantly, it's about no quit. You just want to keep it competitive. And I see them, you know, seeing this Duke team. It's just, It's inspiring to watch, dude. I'm not just saying that.
No, I know. You're diehard, and you sat down in the chair saying, where were you last night? Where were you
I was, night? Okay, the Duke has its centennial. It's a 100-year anniversary of existence. And then so here in L.A., the L.A. chapter of Duke, we had a Kentennial karaoke at the Cafe Brass Monkey in downtown L.A. in Koreatown. And that's why my voice is a little raspy, because I literally did six hours of karaoke just with a bunch of Duke grads.
We have probably been to the place you're referring to.
Really?
Oh, yes.
I love that place.
Because there are some top-notch Los Angeles Koreatown karaoke spots.
Like, absolutely.
Like top 10 in the world type spots.
Agreed.
So
I was hosting it. So literally I was hosting it and bringing up just different alumni on and just having fun. And I think we're supposed to end at 11 or 12. I think I was there till like 1.
Damn.
It was like so much fun. Ooh. I just had a blast. And I was like, and even everyone at Duke, like, you don't have to stay that long. And I was like, I got to, you know, because it was such a good flow. It was such a good feel. So. And just shout out to Duke alumni and Damon, that is our Duke Entertainment Media organization, and they with Duke Arts, and they organize the whole thing.
Well, plus, you know, you can't take the mic away when Allah Abdelnaby is doing
when
Neil Diamond,
wants to do Walk Like an Egyptian. You know what I mean? Yeah. You can't take the mic away. You got to stay till 1 a.m.
He's got to go.
Yeah,
like,
he's got to go.
You got to hear how he's going to finish it up, right?
Is he gonna do a freestyle rap? You know, would it involve Robin Thicke in a getaway car for no reason? We got to figure it out. That's why I was there to win. But I showed up here barely on time.
Coach K singing Low Places.
Yeah.
Is that what he was doing?
Coach K.
Singing something?
Oh, man.
You know, what is he singing?
Dear Coach K, sing Adele is incredible.
You know, someone like you?
Yeah.
He was singing about Cooper Flagg.
He said, hello. You know, it was great. It was great.
Were you watching the Kansas game with him?
I was sitting beside him. I know. Look at how happy Coach K is. Look at how happy. This is what I love. Seriously, this is what I love.
What's the caption here?
Okay, literally, he could not be less enthused of me. And the whole I went in, and this is our relationship. I came in there. I didn't know I was sitting beside him, dude. And he didn't know he was sitting beside me. And he looks at me. This is how dry he, I mean, yeah. You know, you've met him. I mean, this is how dry he is. He looks at me and goes, oh, it's you? Like that, like that. And I said, hi. And I have a beer. He goes, thank you for the, I mean, he's just.
He took it.
Oh, he's nothing but like this. So there's photos there of just me laughing. Mm-hmm. And it looks like it's performative. No, it's because he's zinging me at every turn.
Okay.
And he's with his lovely wife, Mickey. And he's going like, you know, Mickey watches you every week on The Masked Singer. And I was like, oh, thank you so much. He goes, hey, we didn't say she loves you on it. She just says she watches. I mean, this is during every timeout is like a zinger from Coach K. And it was just like, he's just outstanding.
Well, if you speak to his players, they would tell you that's a sign that he likes you.
Oh,
he's doing that to you.
Oh, exactly. It's like hanging out with, like, you know, friends, best friends of mine who are comedians, like Joel, like you only roast the ones you love.
Yeah, right.
And it is just like, and here I am, like a graduate of Duke. I camped out. I was a Cameron crazy.
Yes.
Worship and idolize a man, still do. And I'm just like, I'm getting roasted. Not only does he know who I am, but I'm getting roasted by the goat. And we do a whole shtick where I'm like, I know you're intimidated by me. I know you won 5 championships, but I'm the 4th lead of the Hangover. And I know that you're, you know, probably similar. So this is how we talk.
Who hasn't popped out of a trunk in the middle of the Vegas desert?
That's why he's so jelly, because he's never done that in Vegas.
Was that, you got Ken Jeong here on the Rich Eisen Show. Was that scripted that you were buck naked in the trunk?
It was not. That was my idea. It's like, I basically told wardrobe, it's like, what if I make your job really easy today? And in the script, it just had me coming out, I think, in my slacks. And then I loved Old School. That's one of my favorite movies of all time. It's Todd Phillips, who wrote and directed that. And there were so many surprises in the script. You had Mike Tyson, you had the Tiger, and then just reading the script, I was like, in contrary to popular belief, I was actually kind of analyzing with like my acting mentor, where I was literally just saying, like, I just knowing the tone of his movies, if you do something incredibly shocking and just jump out naked and beat the crap out of Bradley Cooper and Zach and Ed, I just think it would just elevate the stakes up a notch, where everyone's like, what the F is going on? And it, like, so there was a method to the madness. And I didn't know Todd prior to, and I went up to Todd and literally I was just like, I just said, what if Mr. Chow jumps out naked? And Todd's got this voice, you don't have to tell me twice. Like, literally, that's exactly what he said. And in fact, I had to sign a waiver so that I would have to do it and agree to do. I couldn't change my mind. It was one of those, it was so money. And then it was just one of those, like, the first movie, dude, was so lightning in a bottle. And it wasn't just me. It was Zach, Ed, Bradley. Everyone's just chipping in ideas. And it was like the best idea wins. It really was like this in sports terms. It was like this all-star game where everybody, there were no wrong answers. It was like, yes, and, you know, we'll figure it out.
So you suggested, I would think I should do this scene, this moment. It's Mr. Chow buck naked. Todd Phillips, the director, then draws up papers to make sure you don't change your mind.
It went to my hotel room where his associate, shout out to Scott Budnick, who's a great producer in his own right now, just came by my hotel room and said, hey, man, you know, you cool with signing this? I was like, yeah, I mean, we just got to. It was one of those deals where, and not to get sentimental or maudlin about it, my wife at that time was going through chemotherapy for breast cancer, and she's cancer-free right now, by the way, 15, 16 years cancer-free. And so that most importantly.
Of course.
And it just taught me at that time, life is short. Sometimes you just got to go with your gut and just go for it. I mean, it was one of those, it is like a Leitner moment. Take that shot. You know, you just take the shot because you need to take the shot. And so it was one of those things where I think I was going, we're all going through, our whole family's going through so much, where I would think I was just channeling all the kind of the darkness and just and channeling into this character. And it kind of informed everything I did in that movie at that time. And, you know, it was one of those moments where it not only did I have a career out of it, and I'm talking to you because of The Hangover, but I think it was very therapeutic to do that movie for me, because my wife's Vietnamese and I'm Korean, and the script of the dialogue of Mr. Chow was non-existent, basically. And so they just let me do what I want. And I'm sprinkling in Vietnamese just to say a shout out to my wife. There's all these hidden Easter eggs. So in many ways, The Hangover for me is like the weirdest love letter to my wife, because there's so many Easter eggs.
Amazing.
I mean, when they're releasing Black Doug, I go, got chick? And then instead of release the hostage, it was more like, it's Vietnamese for chick and die. It was just something that my father-in-law said. And then literally in the moment, I just did it to make Tran laugh. It was just all these layers in that movie. So when I think about it, especially now, like 15, 16 years later, it is, you know, it's one of those lightning in a bottle moments. I have friends for life out of it.
And fans for life, no doubt about that.
And fans for life, just so grateful to the fans.
What'd you think of the Tyson-Jake Paul fight?
Well, I mean, I think everybody was just so excited to see Tyson. And because of The Hangover, you know, just to...
Well, Jake came out to In the Air Tonight because he's sending up Mike Tyson from The Hangover. That's why he chose that song.
Not knowing anything about boxing, not knowing anything about the infrastructure and the politics, I do believe at the core, including from Jake and the promotion and from Netflix, in my eyes, in knowing Mike and everything he's been through, in many ways, this was kind of a tribute, a tip of the cap to Mike. So there's so many ways to look at it, and so many valid ways, things that are beyond my bandwidth. But seeing Mike, and so glad he's healthy and That was the only thing I was concerned of as a former physician. It was not about outcome. I really was just like getting emotional, like making sure, you know, wanting him.
Yeah.
And he was. And, you know, it was obviously incredibly risky, but that's what he does for a living.
Yeah.
I took maybe one risk in my career, you know, doing something like that. Boxers, athletes, they do this every single hour of every waking moment. So it's a gladiator mentality. And I'm just glad that, I'm just glad he's okay. And I think I think he has so much goodwill.
Yeah.
And everyone is just, I would dare say, happy for him right now in this particular moment.
Well, that he's.
Is that the narrative? I mean,
the narrative was, you know, is it possible in what you just said with the tip of the cap to the old school Tyson? Is it possible that he could step in the ring, throw one punch,
and
bring us back to that moment?
I think that's part of the. Kid. I think that's part of the tip of the cap. You know,
yeah, that's exactly.
I mean, part of the tip of the cap is to have every 60 million viewers think the exact same thing, and I was one of them too.
I think
that is part of what makes sports beautiful. I think that's part of what unifies us all. That we're all collectively thinking that.
Yeah.
And I think that is, in my mind, that's part of the love in a weird way. There is, I mean, just to see them hug at the end, you know, I was moved by that.
Yeah.
Because you just felt like this was, in many ways, just the ultimate, I don't know, honor to
like be
the legacy award. Yeah.
Sure.
Although he says famously, I'm not into legacy, which is true. And that's inspiring in many ways too. You know, you just always think about your next fight or your next day.
Or your next show on Ken's Days.
Or next show on Ken's Day. Yeah, in my own small lane. Yeah.
No, your lane's pretty wide, man. Do you have a good Tyson story from the set when you first strolled in there?
I didn't meet him on the set in Vegas. I later met him, I think it was at the Golden Globes. And it was one of the most amazing things is like me and my wife, who's a doctor, and Mike, and I believe it was his wife at that time, who also was in medicine, I believe a physician.
That's right. Yes.
And the four of us were sitting. I just remember the four of us sitting at a table at the Golden Globes, just chatting away about life. Had nothing to do with boxing, nothing to do with showbiz. Our wives were talking about medicine. And it was the most, I've never talked about this publicly. It was the most surreal, sublime conversation ever. So, and then we later, I think a few years later, go to Muhammad Ali's birthday tribute and in Vegas. And to see my wife hug Mike, you know, it is really one of the most.
Like old friends
is one of the most surreal, coolest things. I haven't thought about it until just right now.
Well, I know whenever I'm, you know, when there's dinner with spouses, you know, and then the spouses start separating and talking in pairs, and like your wife is talking to his about medicine, and now are you spinning your head like, what am I going to say to Mike Tyson now?
I think, he was holding court and everything. He's so funny.
Right.
It was just... It's just the art of conversation. Just listen and respond, you know? It's just like duck and weave, take a job. I don't know the boxing analogy of conversational flows, but it
you just got to take a punch.
Yeah, take a verbal jab. And it was really just, Mike's just he is obviously so approachable and so easy to talk to. And, you know, at that point, kids are coming up to him because of the hangover. You know, kids are hugging him.
Sure.
You know, and I'm like growing up as a kid, the most dangerous man on the planet. And now kids are hugging him. It was amazing.
So Accused, watch it on Hulu, available right here on Roku. You were on the 2-hour season finale on Fox last night. Ken's Days on Fox with Masked Singer and I Can See Your Voice. What's A Great Divide that you'd like people to know about?
A Great Divide is this amazing film directed by Gene Shim, starring Jay Park and co-written by Jeff Yang. It's about an Asian-American, a Korean-American family that moves to Wyoming at the start of the pandemic and dealing with all the consequences of Asian hate crime that stemmed from the pandemic. Again, another drama where I have a supporting role. Jay Park, the lead, just crushes it. Emerson Min, Maya Cech, and it's told from a standpoint of empathy. What I love about it, it's very uniting at the end. It's empathetic and full of care, and that's due to Gene's direction and also amazing footage of us at Jackson Hole, Wyoming, of Yellowstone. It's one of the, I think my favorite dramatic movie role ever, and then my favorite dramatic TV role ever is in A Great Divide and Accused, respectively.
Beautiful, man. And I'm thrilled for you. By the way, that's available on VOD platforms right now. In October, you got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Congrats on that.
Thanks,
man.
Brother. I'm still speechless. It to me is because of the fans. I would not. Now I've been doing this for a while, and there's so many people talented and funny, and both more than me. But just if I didn't have the goodwill of the fans, I wouldn't have a career. So this is all. It really is all because of the fans.
Who's the star in front and in front?
I actually requested to be situated near Lucy Liu's star and Anna May Wong's star. Anna May Wong was the first Asian American to get her star on the Walk of Fame. And so I wanted to be situated with there. So it's really thinking of myself as a kid walking on Hollywood and Vine. It's right on Hollywood and Vine.
Sure.
And if any Asian American kid is thinking this is too tough and a career in entertainment is impossible, look at 3 stars right there on Hollywood and Vine. And if you can dream it, you can do it.
You're the man.
Love it.
You're the man.
That's awesome.
No. Love you, Ken Jeong.
Me too,
let's,
brother.
Let's get you back. It's been a few years. So
I know. It's been a minute. Yeah.
I know. We have one of our famous drops. We've been hearing you for like 5 years. For some reason, this was why was he apologizing to me about this years ago? Do you have that one?
Sorry,
there it is. You did the Mr. Chow update. For the NCAA tournament.
The first day. I think you were here on a Thursday of the opening weekend of the tournament, and you were given highlights.
I think we have. Yeah, you said that. Yeah. You've been hearing that. We do that anytime we give updates of NCAA basketball games.
Mr. Chow. Chow's picks. Chow's picks.
Oh.
Duke all the way. You know, that's all you need. Use that evergreen.
There we go.
Yep.
Chop that one up.
Chop that one up, guys.
thanks for coming on, Ken Jeong.
Of course.
All right. That's Ken Jeong right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Just turn on Fox. You'll see him. We're back here to wrap up hour one in a sec. As many of you clearly know, I love going to watch football live. There's nothing like it, whether it's college football or professional football. There's nothing quite like the excitement of being in the stadium. And Game Time tickets and Game Time picks through Game Time is exactly your way and your gateway to getting the seat that you want and the experience that you'll never forget. Game Time Picks is a new curation feature that filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't waste a single second searching through thousands of tickets. The all-in pricing feature, that's my favorite. You get to see your total upfront, no surprise fees at checkout. With Game Time, you'll always get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork right out of buying tickets right now with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use my code of Eisen for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit gametime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN, boom, $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify. With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts are going abandoned and way more sales happening. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skins uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Westwood One, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Westwood One to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Westwood One.
Every once in a while, I'll pull up a video of, you know, I'll show, you know, my kids or other kids or whatever, and I'll show there's a video of me at Lincoln Center with Michael Jackson. And the story that I tell, which is always very funny, is right before he walked out on stage,
yes,
he went to the bathroom and accidentally dropped his sequin glove in the toilet. Okay?
Come on.
No. True story. Dropped it in the toilet, He's freaking out.
Is it the only one?
It's the one. It's the glove, right? He's got one glove. He didn't come with multiple. He didn't have a suitcase, right, of gloves. He had the glove. He dropped it in the toilet. Like, he must have taken it off, put it on the sink or something, and it fell in the toilet. He's freaking out, and, like, finally he realized, wait a minute, he reaches in, grabs his glove. And the rest of us are like, but he dropped the glove, and what you gonna do with the glove, bro? Right? And so we have to go out on stage, and he has a soaking wet sequin glove on.
From the toilet.
From the toilet.
Of Lincoln Center.
At Lincoln Center. By the way, Lincoln Center toilet water on the glove. This is the first time I'm ever telling this story on TV.
Wow.
This is a Rich Eisen
I appreciate
first
it.
Right
Thank
here.
You. One would have to think, though, I mean, of any toilet water, Lincoln Center's got to be
I mean,
your top-notch
the question
water.
To me was whether he flushed it first.
That was my question.
Right? Did he?
Was he able to
did
flush
he flush?
First?
And then pull, or did he pull, then flush?
I think that's a huge difference.
There is a huge difference there.
A pull and flush is much better than a flush and pull.
No, you want to flush and pull. Get all the dirty water away. The new clean water kind of cleans it off a little bit. And then you pull the glove out, right?
Exactly.
No, I would have a pull and flush or a flush and pull debate with Alfonso Ribeiro about Michael Jackson's Lincoln Center potty glove. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. What a delightful human Ken Jeong is.
He really is.
Yeah.
You know, what a delightful human. He's everywhere on Fox. It's just great to see. Him and Joel McHale, back and forth. Good times. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. News out of New York football Giants country. Drew Locke's the starting quarterback.
Drew Locke.
I think he's going to be the starter the rest of the season. Give him a shot. Give him a shot. Give him a shot.
Shot.
The Giants are currently where in the...
The draft?
In the draft, yes. They're number one.
They're top, yeah.
They're number one. Oh, my God. Can you imagine if Deion Sanders' son is available and the Giants need a quarterback... And they have the first overall pick in the draft. What that's going to be in New York City for a two-month conversation. Could you imagine? Get out of here. And then there's the Raiders, who need him in the worst way right behind them. That is just going to be lit. If Shedeur Sanders is up for grabs and is, in fact, worthy of the first overall pick in the draft based on his skill set and everything else, and the Giants and the Raiders are there.
Cam Ward, not a bad consolation prize.
I'm just saying, Cam Ward,
based on recent
whatever his,
pick.
I don't know his history of his family or anything like that. Deion Sanders is part of this equation. And I just remember the Giants were the team that once upon a time dragged him into the combine room as he tells the story. You know, he asked... In a combine interview room, this is back in the day when it wasn't organized, there were fist fights over getting the prospect you wanted to talk to into your interview room. Fist fights in the Crown Plaza Hotel that was there, whatever it's called now. There was an indoor pool that was an in-ground indoor pool outside of these hotel rooms. And Deion told me, people have told me that there were brawls about this sort of stuff, where scouts would wind up falling into the pool, and the Giants once upon a time dragged him into the room, and he said, which team is this? He said, Giants. And then Deion said, where do you pick? And they said, sixth, seventh overall? He goes, you have no chance. And walked out. Didn't even interview with him.
I'm not going to be there.
Said he didn't interview with him. Could you imagine it's that franchise that has a chance to draft his son first overall and put Shedeur in New York City? And that's the kid that takes the reins of all the hopes and desires of the Daniel Jones besieged New York fans and Giants fan base. And then there's the Raiders, who would, I think, give up their proverbial you-know-what to go get him, if he's worthy of it. Daniel Jeremiah talked about this at length on What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask. Check that out wherever you get all your podcasts. And Daniel had something to say about Caleb Williams and the Bears. We'll have a conversation about in hour three. Still here on the Roku Sports Channel.
The 1989 draft.
Sick.
Four of the top five picks, Hall of Famers.
Tony Mandarich is the only one who wasn't.
Tony Mandarich, number two.
Yep. Yep. Name the other ones. Barry Sanders, right?
So Troy went first.
Troy went first.
Troy went first overall.
Barry was already in the league.
Barry went three.
Moni is there three. Okay.
Derek Thomas went four, and Deion went five.
And let me just also say this. Yesterday there was a whole conversation about Sterling Sharp here, and you offered a little bit of pushback on his Hall of Fame worthiness. I did text Prime. Sterling Sharp is a Hall of Fame finalist, talking about it on my show. He was one of the toughest you had ever had to cover, yes or no? He wrote back, yes, one of the best for sure. Deion came in the league in 89, and Sterling started in 88. Just throwing that out there. As Sterling Sharp is up for enshrinement to join his brother Shannon. How about that, that the Sharps would beat the Mannings to the bus room? Or the Barbers?
Well, they retired before the Mannings.
I understand that. But they've been, Sterling's on the cusp in a way that I didn't think a lot of people thought he would ever be on the cusp. Let's get Torrey Holt in there, man.
Yeah,
let's start pounding the table
insanity,
for him.
That's insanity, man.
Torrey came on our show the other day.
Oh, Reggie Wayne.
And we kept talking, but you put up Torrey Holt's stats in his career against others, and it's like first.
For the whole decade, right?
Quite a bit. Hour number two, coming up, Bruce Feldman talking college football. Wonder what we'll talk about.
Duke all the way.